Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Here we go.
Got him swinging. A roar from Bautista. He unleashes high heat, and the Orioles take down the Yankees.
Such a tough lineup to get through two plus times because of their elite ability to not chase pitches, and just really impressed. You know, the ability to move the ball around the strike zone and change speeds. It's kind of a lost art today's game a little bit.
Big win for the boys, and you know, we've been grinding. So we get that hit there, get some momentum, put us up like that. A lot of emotion, and obviously very happy with how it turned out today.
We play the Yankees. Judge is going to hit in the ninth. You feel like every single time. Yeah, just what a two really good splits to Judge there at the end, and he goes 3-0 to Bellinger, and be able to come back and do what he did. It's he's getting a little bit better every time out.
Brandon Hyde talking about the mountain, looking very mountain-like in the top of the ninth inning against the New York Yankees. Oriole Park Camden Yards started a three-game series as the Orioles, who had lost 6 of 7, 3 in a row, come through with a win. They weren't all that great with runners in scoring position. We'll get to that. I mean, second and third, nobody out in the first inning. Couldn't score. But Ryan O'Hearn goes yard, 3-run jack. Gives the Orioles the 4-zip lead because Laureano, say what you will about the Orioles' lack of exit velo and all of this and slugging percentages and on-base percentages and OPS that I've been lamenting. His is pretty strong in the slugging percentage category. I don't have a ton of hits, but most of them are the double home run variety. And we saw two doubles last night. All right, Grisham may have misplayed the ball, but it had so much exit velo, Nolan, that it had him all discombobulated in center field. Tomo Sugano was outstanding. Pitched himself out of a bunch of jams. Got Aaron Judge chasing, as did the Mountain in the ninth inning. Struck out Dominguez, Mountain did to end the game. But Sugano now putting together, stringing together quality outings. And I know he didn't go 6 innings. He did qualify for the win because you need to go 5 to do that. And I've said this for a bazillion years. 6 innings, 3 runs, 5+0 ones. Runs. Which one's more quality to you? And I'm going to go with what Sugano did last night against New York. 8 strikeouts, and he's not necessarily a strikeout pitcher. Doesn't really walk many. And again, he got himself out of some issues, but I thought he was outstanding. All right, Soto a little shaky. Arias with the throw up the right field line. Okay, it's a Gold Glover. You give him a pass, which led to an unearned run for Cano. But then the Mountain comes in and slams the door right in their faces. What does this mean in the big picture? We don't know. Still struggle with runners in scoring position. But they got a big hit. Homer, that was the only hit with runners in scoring position, the 3-run homer from Ryan O'Hearn. So they win the game. And they've kind of handled the Yankees going back to mid-22. Still chasing in the standings. But it's only one game, and we're not sitting here talking about them getting shut out or striking out 15 times and walking 2 or committing all bunch of errors. Just all this malaise that has crept throughout the team. And they're still banged up. 2 more injuries added to the equation, which we'll talk about later. But, hey, first place team coming in kind of hot. And the Orioles coming home cold. And they win.
I think that's about as good as you could possibly feel for a non-clenching regular season game. You're absolutely right. We can't draw any long-term conclusions after one game, because to be fair, the wins have been few and far between, but they have had solid wins under their belt, some close wins at that. So this one last night, just with everything that was going on, you're playing poorly, 2 more guys hit the IL like right before first pitch. I mean, literally.
Which, by the way, I was at Hyde's press conference yesterday before the game.
Not a peep.
Westberg's day-to-day. Kittredge is throwing sides. There's bullpens and all of this good stuff. Kowser's not close. That's why they moved him to the 60-day IL to make some room. Same with Grayson Rodriguez. So everything was kind of positive. Of course, Gibson, that was the first thing he said was going to start tonight against New York. Said nothing about Sanchez. Said Adley was banged up, but he was in the starting lineup last night. Westberg was a little sore, but day to day. And it was almost literally as we were getting off the air, BBT, last night, that this flurry of activity hit. So, yeah, back to the point, injuries are still a very real part of the equation for him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I just thought last night they got all the breaks. And nobody, people are sick of hearing about expected batting average and hard hit rate, but at a certain point, it was getting a little ridiculous with some of the outs that these guys were hitting themselves into. I mean, just rockets off the bat that found a glove. You know, the insane catch that Ellie De La Cruz made in that Red Series. I can think of that one comes to the top of my mind. But last night, everything seemed to go their way. From the misplay, you know, their opponent made a misplay for the first time. I feel like it's always the Orioles making the mistakes that lead to runs for the other team. Last night, they took advantage of some mistakes. It just, from start to finish, complete team effort. And even though it was close late, a little dicey, watching Bautista in the ninth, there wasn't really a second where I was worried. He looked like his usual composed self.
Yeah, the cutter might not have been coming in at 97, 98 like it was 2 years ago, but still low to mid-90s and dominated Aaron Judge. Dominguez was overmatched. So you take your win, you celebrate the win until today. Now Kyle Gibson comes back, who won 15 games for them 2 years ago, 8-8 last year for the Cardinals. He's the guy that started the water fountain, which you saw Gunnar do in the first inning last night. I guess they're not fishing for Cottonmouth Bass anymore. So Kyle Gibson, big clubhouse presence 2 years ago, especially with the young pitchers, he returns. But they need him to be more than just a clubhouse presence. They need him to get people out, because now you're a part of the rotation, which is beleaguered, injury-plagued, and really needs someone to come in and be, outside of Sagano, reliable. Povich is coming off a nice start, so we'll see how he follows that up. But someone else has to step up to the plate, no pun intended, and be reliable. Is Gibson that guy? I don't know.
I think he's capable. I mean, you don't want to put all the stock into it. He only made three starts here in the minors, and it wasn't like he was blowing people away.
Yeah, it wasn't perfect.
He gave up some runs. But, you know, speaking of Hyde's pregame press conference, and you were there, I'll ask you, what did you make of his comment about Gibson saying we got an adult in the room type of thing? I mean, to me, that was almost kind of a weird shot at your rotation.
I just kind of glanced over like, is he, you know, saying that you got a bunch of babies in there? From what I understand, the clubhouse to the media, because I haven't been in there in a while, I go to the press conferences. The players barely even show up anymore. So maybe Gibson will come in, not saying that they're not accountable, but maybe he'll come in and go, hey, let's revisit what was going right 2 years ago and a year ago through midseason. You guys were one of the best teams in baseball. Again, coming into this season, only the Dodgers had won more games than the Orioles in the last 2.5 seasons. So maybe he'll come in and just kind of stabilize things. Because Sagano, language barrier, I guess, new to the team. Who else steps up? Gunnar?
He should.
Adley?
But that's a whole different conversation.
Mullins? Yeah. I mean, they're all like lead by example, quiet, younger kind of guys. O'Hearn, I guess, he kind of takes the bull by the horns. But Gibson coming in, we'll see. Now, if he goes out and gives up 7 runs tonight, 2 1/3 innings, you can be like, all right, we'll act like adults. But you got to get people out. I think end game, he's got to be effective when he throws the baseball. And then everything else will kind of take care of itself.
Realistic expectation, 5 innings, less than 3 runs. I know people are rolling their eyes out there, but it is what it is. I mean, that's the state of pitching right now. Nobody's expecting this guy to be Cy Young when he comes in here. Give your team a chance to win. That's what we're asking for. That's why we're trying to get Charlie Morton out of here. Because after 2 innings, he's already got 5, 6, 7 runs on the board, and you're out of the game. At least give us a chance.
Well, you also can't sit here and rely on 3-run homers. The Earl Weaver, as Ben McDonald was saying last night. How about 1 for 7 runners in scoring position? And the one hit was the 3-run homer. You got to come through in those situations. So, say Gibson gives him 5-3. All right. Where is they, are they going to score offense tonight against Rodon, who's been very good at times?
Left-handed pitcher.
This year, a left-handed guy. Gary Sanchez is off the grid now. Who gets those at-bats? Westberg's gone. Something tells me we might see a Mayo sighting sooner or later. You never know, man.
Extra Mayo.
You never know. So the Orioles win last night, 4-3. They take the series opener, game two tonight. It's Kyle Gibson, it's Carlos Rodon. Yankees are still at first place in the American League East, but Birds get a much-needed win. Can they stack these things? We're not saying they're back. Everything's great until they get to 500. When they get to 500, then we'll start talking about being back and starting to maybe trend in a more positive direction. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turning Up Tuesday. Draft profiles continue on today. Staying on the offensive line, one guy that Vinny likes, one guy that he's a little, I don't say down on, but concerned with. And today, out at One Winning Drive, Vinny, they're doing the director of college scouting is going to explain things. There's an on and off the record, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's at 11:30. And what they're going to do is they're going to take every draft pick and show why they took them. You know, they're going to show the film of the clips of what they liked about each guy, which would be interesting to see. I'd love to see, you know, some of the film that they're going to show, especially like when we talk about Vincent from Alabama A&M. You know, are they going to show the Senior Bowl cuts and stuff? That's what'll be interesting to hear. But I mean, it's going to be probably mostly positive stuff is what they're going to show, which I would. I'd show highlights.
Why would you criticize your draft pick?
Yeah, you wouldn't.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Orioles win last night. Draft is over. Ravens had 11 picks. Are you satisfied with what Eric DaCosta did to fill needs? And we still have another wave of free agency. George Kittle just signed a big monster contract. I don't know if that affects Mark Andrews in the grand scheme of things, but maybe Isaiah Likely might be keeping an eye on how that unfolded as he heads into 2025. NBA Stanley Cup playoffs still very much alive. There's a ton going on. Be part of the fun. The Orioles are back. No, they're not. Got to get to 500 first. A lot of Yankee fans. 22,000 plus was the announced attendance for the game. But the Oriole fans, they get loud because there was a lot to cheer about. But, of course, the Yankee fans, I heard the Let's Go Yankees and all of that nonsense that they bring to the equation. But it's just not a Baltimore thing. They do it everywhere they go. But the Orioles win the game, and what better way to shut them up is to walk out with a W. And if they can win tonight behind Kyle Gibson, hey, win a series, which has been a rare occasion for them so far in 2025, as the Orioles are going to finish April with a losing month. They're not going to win six games tonight. Tomorrow's the last day of the month. But hopefully April brings a little more positivity to the equation. Before we get out to the phones, talk about the Birds' win last night. No, they're not back. Matter of fact, they're even more damaged health-wise than they were 24 hours ago. But George Kittle, 4 years, $76.4 million contract, $40 million in guaranteed dough. So holy bleeple, it's George Kittle getting himself a big old deal as he is Brock Purdy's go-to guy, much like Andrews is here in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think Andrews got his big deal the last one.
Kittle 31, by the way.
Yeah, so I don't think, and Andrews is only 30, right? So I don't think he's getting that kind. He may want that kind of deal. He's not getting it from the Ravens, and I don't think he'll get that kind of deal. I mean, I think the guy that breaks the bank the next time, Bob, is Bowers. I think Bowers will be that guy that goes to the top.
So the Ravens have three free agent tight ends. Who gets impact, at least from a Ravens perspective, who gets impacted the most?
Well, Likely you just got to find a comparable. You know, who's a comparable? Because he's not comparable with the top guys. You know, even like Arizona, none of those guys he's comparable with. You got to get, you know, somebody that,
McBride had a monster.
Oh, yeah, he had like over 100 Arizona catches. Yeah. If I'm Likely, I don't want to do anything till after the season. You know, hopefully I'm going to have a breakout year. Might be tough you know, with Hopkins and then with all three tight ends too, you know, and you got Keaton Mitchell back. You got a lot more people back on the field now, so that could make things more difficult. But I don't think he's ever going to break the bank because I don't think he's going to have 100 reception year. I just think that they throw the ball to too many places other than just the tight end. You know, I mean, when Andrews got paid, Bob, I mean, go back, I think, you know, they didn't have – he was the guy, period. Now you got Flowers, you got Bape, you got a lot of guys that he likes to throw to.
When Andrews got hurt in that Cincinnati game, yeah, in 23, likely was Andrews.
Yes.
Down the stretch.
Totally.
And Hapter, he was a non-factor in the passing game until Mark Andrews got hurt. Anyway, Kittle last year, 1,000-plus yards, second in touchdowns in the NFL to tight ends. Mark Andrews first, by the way. But he averaged over 14 yards a catch. Andrews averaged, what, 33 yards a game?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, Andrews is, you know, I think he needs a new place. Because I think the Ravens are ready to move on from him. Because you got the young dude, you know, just kind of in the background, just like, hey, my turn, you know.
Deontay Johnson, former Ravens, signed a one-year deal with the Cleveland Browns.
Jesus.
If that thing isn't already a circus, here comes the ringmaster, perhaps.
I don't get that one at all, Bob. I mean, three teams last year. And, you know, I mean, you talk about organizations. You know, I mean, he's basically going to almost make the whole division. He's just missing Cincy now.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's get out to the phone. Sports at 583-1057. Orioles win last night, 4-3. Mountain looked good. I mean, he looked very reminiscent of the guy we saw in 2023 when he had one of the great years that a closer could ever have. Sagano seems to have adapted to American League East play nicely. Thank you very much. But still, 1-for-7, runners in scoring position. And Jordan Westberg's going to be out for a while. And Kowser's not close to coming back. So you got to make do with what you have. Let's go to Towson. It's PT. PT, what's up?
Hey, guys. Bob, you were spot on with Rodriguez and O'Neal. Sure enough, I mean, O'Neal's hurt already, and it looks like Rodriguez. I mean, Bob, do you think he's going to pitch at all this year?
If I'm a betting man, and I am, but I'm usually bad at it, I'd say no. No.
Right.
I'm guessing you'll have a better chance of seeing Bradish throw a pitch for the Orioles this year than Grayson Rodriguez.
Right.
I could be wrong, though, PT.
Right. That's where I'm going, though. I think, or what is your opinion? If Bradish does come back, and I would suspect, you know, they're hoping to get him back by August. If he comes back, you got Eflin, Sagano, Povich looks good. They're going to get one decent start out of Morton, Gibson, and Rodgers.
Drinking a Kool-Aid.
I mean, one of those three.
Well, let's first of all, Bradish is going to have to rehab. So he's not going to just, I'm good, give me the ball, coach, and he's going to step on the mound and face up Boston. He's going to have to do some rehab stuff down on the minors to prove that he's A, healthy, B, can get people out. So maybe August, if he can help you in September, assuming you're still clanking around in the division or the wild card, absolutely bring it on. But Povich, let's see him stack a few of these. I mean, he's given up as many hits as any starter in baseball this year, and you know, let's see him get two or three quality starts kind of in a 4 or 5 game stretch to see how that thing rolls. Morton, I'm not holding my breath for that to turn around anytime soon. And Eflin, hopefully. Look, he got hurt in Arizona. How long ago has that been? And he was supposed to miss 3 starts, and it's been way more than that. So let's pump the brakes on the projected second half of the season rotation. But PT, I do agree with you. They'll trade for maybe a pitcher or two to help them, assuming they're still around.
And Bob, you'd also agree the only two guys offensively that are playing, you know, to their level, to what their career says they'll do or above, is Mullins and O'Hearn. The entire rest of the team is hitting, you know, well below their career average, and clutch hitting is something that balances out, don't you think?
Well, the clutch hitting balancing out towards below career averages. Remember last year's second half of the season, PT, the Orioles were one of the worst teams in baseball with runners in scoring position. So they have struggled in that area for quite some time. But, I mean, you think Gunner's going to bust out of it. He doubled off the left center field wall last night, which is a good sign. But, you know, he left some ducks on the pond. Adley, you know, I don't know. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. Mountcastle looks completely lost at the plate right now. So, I mean, Laureano, Arias is having a hell of a year. So let's throw him in at a guy that's helping the offensive situation. And Westberg's now gone, who, you know, in my opinion, was the second best player on the team coming out of spring training. So, where's the help coming from?
And Westberg's going to be gone longer than 8 days.
It sounds like he's been hurt since Toronto.
Yeah, Hammy takes a while.
And just as he was starting to percolate a little bit, too.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. I'm just saying I look at their career numbers, and I think it's a smart bet to say that all these guys are going to get back to their career numbers. I completely agree that, you know, Heston got drilled, and sure enough, he's hit poorly for them after that. And definitely, Mountcastle looks lost at the plate, but he's going to get it back. I mean, you wouldn't bet against that. I still think he's going to get 20 home runs this year.
Well, I said he was going to hit 33. And I'm going under now.
Yeah.
Look, PT, I know you're the eternal optimist when it comes to the Orioles. Let's get to 500 first, and then we'll start talking about maybe ascending a little bit higher here in the standings.
I'm with you.
Because right now they're still looking up at that Toronto rear end. Fifth to fourth.
I just think anything that could come down to luck, we've had nothing but bad luck so far, and I'm convinced that's going to turn around. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you got to get the 500 before you start talking.
There you go. All right. Thank you, PT. I love his optimism. If you're new to the show, PT did say the Orioles were going to go to the World Series, or if not win the World Series. And, you know, that wasn't an impossible task. They were actually one of the top five or six favorites by the odds makers to do that. But the season has played out, and they've been anything but World Series contenders. Matter of fact, Baseball Reference has the chance of winning the World Series at like 0.01. So it all changes, the ebbs and flows of a year. But get to 500, get healthier, show some concern. They could go out tonight and get drilled 8-0. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just let's stack some wins, show some sort of a sign of life that isn't just this one-off sort of. Me and Jim Hunter were talking last night on BBT. Have they played a clean game all year?
No.
Maybe the Arizona game when Eflin got hurt? That one? And even then, Cedric made a throwing error, but I'm not going to nitpick about that. What's the clean game they played this year?
Well, I forgive my ignorance. What was unclean about last night? They did have one error.
Urias.
Which led to an unearned run.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But there you go.
I don't know. It's close enough.
Right, the other thing we'll take it, right. Hey, they could have seven errors as long as they win.
Bob, when you got a guy on third base and nobody out, I mean, you're expecting that to be a run.
Second and third.
Right, I know.
And neither one of they were growing moss. They were standing there so long. Anyway, the Orioles aren't back, but they got a win. They seem to kind of have the Yankees number, though. Let's see if they get to follow it up with a win tonight. We'll come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Draft profile number one of this day. We got two offensive linemen coming up. Emory Jones, LSU, Baton Rouge. What's he going to bring to the equation? What's he, a third-round draft pick?
Yes.
Kind of hope he helps in some capacity. Can he? Me, Mike Bordick, and Joe LaCroix again. Cordell's always in the house. Cordell Woodland, of course. So come on down and say hi. But instead of trying to bumble my way through Tomoyuki Sugano, he's Tomo Sugano now. Granted, it only took him 5 starts for me to figure it out. But Tomo Sugano was taking care of business last night for the Orioles. A little more velo on that fastball, it seemed, than we've seen. 5 innings, 5 hits, no runs, just 1 walk. He doesn't walk anybody. Well, walk one, but you get the point. I mean, unlike Morton and Kramer, it's like, hey, who wants a free base? Come on down. Get some of this. 8 Ks, though, which has been uncharacteristic. Now, 2-1 with a strong 3-1 with a 3 earned run average. So I guess Sugano and Vinny, I had no idea what to expect from this guy. And they were showing highlights of him pitching in the World Baseball Classic back when Adam Jones still played for the Orioles. I mean, hey, he looks great there. That was like 8 years ago. So he's exceeded. I had like no expectations. Hey, if he's good, great. If he sucks, boy, you paid a lot of money for a guy to, you know, not be good. But he has exceeded expectations big time. And what's he getting? 13 mil. It's a 1 year deal. Let's not forget. He's way more impressive than I figured he was. And after his first start in Toronto, Nolan, remember this, he had to leave with hand cramps in a controlled environment. All right. All right. Nerves apparently were an issue for him there. But Sagano, next to Eflin, has been outstanding. And some of his starts have actually rivaled what Zach Eflin brought to the equation.
No, he's had the two best starts of the year. Those seven-inning outings, no doubt about it. Feels like he's getting acclimated too. Like after Cedric made that home run robbing catch last night, he was waiting for him to come back to the dugout, you know, thank him and all that. So just feels like he's unassuming. You know, we don't really hear from him. There is the language barrier, like you mentioned, but yeah, he's part of the O's now.
Yeah, what's he, one of the guys. Five starts in, you suck, get it together, you know what I mean? Like Mr. Baseball with Tom Selleck way back when he tried to transition. But you mentioned it. It seems as though he's getting real comfortable in the setting. Now, it's going to get hot here in Baltimore, and I've never been to Japan.
It's hot. Yeah, humid.
So I'm guessing he can understand where that's coming from. So I'm liking what I'm seeing. Let's knock on for Micah here that just hits a post every fifth day. That's what they need, a guy that actually hits the starts when he's scheduled.
He's the only one that's consistent so far, you know. And the other thing that makes him look real good, Bob, is all the other guys that have been pitching. That even makes him look better. We're watching the game last night. My daughter goes, how old is that guy that's pitching? I said, well, yeah, he's probably, he might be over 40.
He's 35 on his our birth certificate, but who really knows? I don't care if he's 500 years old. Get people out. We know Charlie Morton's in his 40s, and he's pitching like a guy in his 40s, but Povich, they got to stack these things before they really start to, the Orioles. We do anyway, because we're the ones that complain more than anybody else. They're not back until they get to 500. Fair. They got to go 4-2 on this homestand, for instance, before we start celebrating a return to whatever the Orioles have been the last 2.5 years, which has been one of the best teams in baseball.
And I don't think that, Bob's happening until, like you keep saying, till the runners in scoring position, you know, gets figured out. Yeah. Because otherwise, they ain't going to score enough.
Sagano's last start, he only gave up 3 runs in 7 innings, lost because they couldn't score.
Right, well, it's night to night. Like, last night, you win with the home run. You're going to have to win like that every once in a while. They beat the Nats 2-1 last week. Offense wasn't there in that one, but they had one solid inning. So, yeah, string them together. Tonight, if you blow them out, great. You get the hits with runners in scoring position, fantastic. But at this point, win any way you can. I don't care.
I want Gunnar Henderson to look like he's having fun again. Right now, he doesn't look like he's having a lot of fun.
The only time he looked like he had fun when he walked and he tossed his bat, you know, flipped it off.
Right, and then he doubled.
Yeah.
And then, kind of got planted there at second base. But they're giving away this Star Wars thing on Star Wars. That. Yay, nay. Yeah.
I was never big on it.
I
respect
it,
though.
You hated it?
The Star Wars, I went to the movie and fell asleep.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I saw the, we're that age, Vinny. I was 12 when I saw the first one.
Right, me too. Yeah,
I was cool with it.
15.
You know, it was a Patterson movie up there on Eastern Avenue, no longer there. And then I saw the second one out in North Point, I think it was. That was Return of the Jedi? I don't know.
You're asking the wrong
guy.
Yeah.
And then after that, I didn't give a crap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I felt my first breast and touched a female butt.
That was the turning point there?
That was it. Here, I got a lightsaber for you, baby. You know what I mean? It ain't Han Solo's. But apparently they've done so many prequels and changed the narrative. Like, I couldn't even keep up with it. Like, when you see the first two, you're like, okay, there's a storyline. Now they've gone back to when Han Solo wasn't even born and what Darth Vader was. It's changed to the point I'd probably be yelling at the TV, the movie theater, like, you screwed this whole thing up. That's me.
But anyway, I like you having a strong opinion on the narrative without watching it. It's hilarious.
I've seen the first two.
Right.
But, you know, I follow Siskel and Ebert.
You're ruining the source material.
Oh,
and I'm following it.
May the source be with you. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about draft profile number one, offensive line. I did watch the Bill Belichick interview on YouTube yesterday.
Oh, I did, too.
Boy, was that uncomfortable or what? Oh, they were kissing his ass, calling him coach. As soon as they mentioned Robert Kraft, boy, did the mood change. And then Yoko over there popping off when they were asking him. Oh, and that's only what they're showing us, apparently. Anyway, draft profile. Talk Ravens draft more with Kevin Allstriker from the USA Today Ravens Wire. Whip around 11:15, and we'll talk about the Cleveland Browns. Hey, Mel Kiper gave an A+. Scott Petrak, Brown Zone, 11:30.
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
He's got the chance to be a swing backup tackle for us right away, but he also has a chance to go in their guard and play. So we're going to put him in their guard too, see how he does, and just get a feel for him. You know, once he starts practicing, just get a feel for where he can help us, and we think he can play guard and tackle.
That's Ravens head coach John Harbaugh talking about one of the draft picks the Ravens made over the weekend. And let's go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and talk about their third-round pick there.
Yeah, Emory Jones, LSU, 6052, 315 pounds, jersey 50, a junior, 34 and a quarter arm length, which is excellent. 10 and three-quarter hands, which are huge mitts. Now, he was a basketball player in high school, which I used to love when I would recruit old linemen. Three-year starter, second team All-SEC, started 36 of 38 games. 2022, All-SEC freshman, 12 starts at right tackle. 2023, second team All-SEC, started 12 games at right tackle. 2024, second team All-SEC, started 12 games at right tackle, allowed one sack, 864 snaps. Now, their left tackle was Will Campbell, who went to fourth pick in the draft. And then Dillinger, the left guard, was the Ravens' seventh-round pick. And then in 23, they were up for the Joe Moore Award as the best offensive line. Now, Emory's strengths: size, length, effort, good motor, quick step in pass. He can anchor in pass. He can combo up to the linebacker level. He's strong, well-built lower. Will keep feet moving on the base block. He can get movement. Shows ability to pull and run. Good athlete. He can bend his knees. Quick off the snap. He can play off offensive guard also. Slides feet well in pass. Has played some at offensive guard. Good strength at the point of attack. Quick out of stance on pull. He comes off low on the base block. Explosive drive blocker. Strong hands. Good footwork and pass. Will push rusher past the quarterback and show some nasty. Weakness: needs better punch and pass. He doesn't use his 34 and a quarter arm length. He'll get pad level high in the run some. Struggles with quick edge rushers because he has no punch. You know, he keeps his arms in tight. You cut the corner down. 5 false start penalties on the road this year. So the crowd noise got to him a little bit. Struggled some picking up stunts. Must keep hands inside. On the ground too much in the run game. Gets overextended. Will get high and driven and pass some. Will reach and lunge some and pass. In summary, I said, Emory has good size, length, really good athlete. Play right tackle, guard. He'll need a lot of technique work and pass. Doesn't punch, will lunge. Struggles some with stunts. In the run game, good combo blocker, good on pulling. He'll need Warhop to school him up on, but he has the talent. I think in the pass is the biggest thing. He doesn't use his arm length at all. You know, he's got a quick first step in pass, but he doesn't punch. You know, he lets them come into his body, and that's why he gets himself in trouble. And if, you know, George Warhop, the O-line coach, gets him doing those things, he'll be fine. I mean, because he's a hell of an athlete. He can pull, he can run, played some at guard. They put him over kind of like they put him over at tight end on the left side some when they put two tackles on the one side. So is he athletic enough to play on the left side? Yeah. But he needs to get his fundamental, he needs to get his punch straightened out first, is, you know, because if George gets him with that, athletically, he can do all the things Harbs was talking about, but he's got some technique stuff that he needs to get fixed to do that. But in the run game, I think in the run game, he could play guard for them because they like to pull that left guard. Is he a better athlete than Voorhees? Yep. And the thing about it, is he more durable than Voorhees? Yes. Started 36 to 38 games. So he'll be, if he can handle it, Bob, he'll be in competition to be that left guard. But kind of what they're, if they had to play today, is he going to be, I'd be a little nervous putting him in today, you know, like at the left tackle, because I haven't seen him play left tackle in any of their games.
Could he be a candidate to replace McCary as this jack of all trades guy? Maybe not play center, because McCary could literally play all five spots on the O-line. But could he be versatile enough to do both guard, both tackles, and don't really miss a beat for an extended period of time?
Not
right out of the gate.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to need some development time. But, Bob, he can be better than McCary because he's a bigger man and he's athletic and he's been more durable than McCary. McCary, you know, has had that back issue. So could he come in and start? He would, like, if he had to come in and start, Bob, it would kind of be like, you're going to help him. You know, like if somebody got hurt and he had to play by 9th, 10th game, probably be kind of like Rosengarten. You know, I mean, because if eventually Emory Jones and Rosengarten end up being your tackles in a couple years, you got two really athletic guys.
So with Starks and Green, impact guys, hopefully right out of the gate.
No doubt.
Starters, perhaps.
Yes.
But Jones, contributor in 25.
Has to be a contributor, yes. And he's got the skill. You know, he's got everything you want. He's got long arms. He's athletic. He can pull. He's got nasty, you know, durability. Started 36 to 38 games. So he's got all of those things. He just needs to fine-tune his technique work.
Later on in the show, coming up around 12:45, as a matter of fact, we'll stay on the offensive line, talking about the Ravens' fifth-round draft pick and the hopes for him as a rookie, or is there some more maybe long-term potential there? We'll come back. Talk about the Ravens draft with Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Whip around 11:15. What happened in the world of sports last night? Heavy NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs. And then Scott Petrak will talk about the Browns. They were in the news. They made the trade. They get to number 5. Shedeur Sanders goes to them at fifth round. So Mel Kiper Jr. gave an A+. Apparently because he loved Shedeur Sanders. So we'll talk to Scott about that. But Trip Love 45. Later on the show, 12:30, Danielle Allentuck. Talk about the Orioles. They beat the Yankees last night. Beat the Yankees is always a good thing. Can they do it 2 times in a row?